Welcome to the Soul Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Kat Fowler, and today's episode is all about sound healing. Our guest, Ben Carroll, is a gifted and intuitive sound worker. As a former full-time touring musician and universal recording artist, with album sales reaching into the hundreds and thousands, Ben has quite a unique background. As a perpetual student of metaphysics, consciousness, and the effect of sound and vibration on the body and mind, the transition from rock star to sound healer wasn't as far of a leap as one may imagine. For several years now, Ben's focus has been on using sound coupled with group energy to strengthen intuition, facilitate healing, access higher dimensions of the self, and facilitating the recalibration and expansion of the mind-body-soul connection. His sound healing journey work has had a profound effect on many that have had the opportunity to experience it. Okay, so hi, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really grateful that you asked me to be here today.
So I'm really excited to have you on because not only will we be chatting about sound healing, but also your music is profoundly healing. And luckily for listeners, we'll be playing one of your songs at the end. So thank you for that. I'm very excited for this whole experience that's about to happen. So let's start off with, how did you get into this work, into sound healing, and decided to make it your life's work?
Well, sound healing was something that I kind of slipped into accidentally on one level, and on another level, it feels like it was what I was meant to do. Mm. You know, I've been a professional musician. Before I was doing sound healing, I was actually a universal recording artist, you know, traveling all over and songs on the radio and all that wow. stuff. And getting into sound healing was completely kind of, on the one hand, completely accidental, and on the other hand, kind of like divine guidance, like it was what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's kind of a really long story.
Do you want to shorten it?
Yeah. I mean, I was always called to music, and music was just something I've done my whole life. And you know, you're growing up in the society, you want to do music, and then the consensus is that you have to write songs, and you need to get songs on the radio. And in order to be a successful musician, if you want to do music for a living and not have to do other things, then that's what you need. So I was like, okay, that's what I need. And, you know, I that's what I worked towards. And, you know, I signed to Universal Records when I was 25 years old. Wow. And that was really intense. You know, I was playing in a hard rock band, and that was definitely a really intense job. exciting, you know, 25 years old. And I was a really young 25 years old. It was intense, but you know, after things settled down, it was never really as fulfilling as it should have been, as I thought it should have been, you know, as my 14-year-old self thought it should be. But I, you know, I stuck with that and did that for about 10 years. And then the band I was in, a band called Ra, we were based out of New York City, and the band went to hiatus. So I decided to move up to Portland, Maine, to just kind of decompress and figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my life, hang out in Portland for 6 months, and then, you know, figure it out and move to Hawaii or Costa Rica. And well, that was 9 years ago, and I'm still in Maine. But I got up here and I just started exploring a lot of different things, started taking meditation classes, started studying Reiki, started doing a lot of hiking, and just seeing what was out there and exploring things. And I reconnected with a friend of mine at that time, and she was doing singing bowl events. And I was just instantly captivated by the singing bowls. There's something about singing bowls that are so potent for so many people. They have a way of kind of just shutting down the part of your brain that's always yapping at you and allowing for deeper states of consciousness, getting into the theta state. And, you know, from that space, just a lot of releasing can occur, and a lot of wonderful journeying can occur, and lots of other things. And I was just instantly in love with the bowls. But I was always curious what it would be like to sing with singing bowls. So I eventually bought one and brought it home and started singing with it. And it was really interesting the way the voice in the bowl kind of interacted. There's these overtones that can be created. And it was really interesting. So, of course, 2 weeks later, I had 8 more. And
that's how it always works, right?
Yeah, that's how it works. And it just became my own personal practice of singing with the bowls every morning. It was like my own personal meditation. I would sing with the bulls and kind of travel on the sound. Mm-hmm. And that would last anywhere from 20 minutes. And if I didn't have anywhere to be, a lot of times it would end up being up over 3 hours. And wow. I would always be shocked that that amount of time had gone by. And I never really had any intention of doing that with other people. It was just, you know, what I was doing with myself for myself. But as tends to happen in your life when you're being a little stubborn, things started to come up. Synchronicities started to come up that were kind of guiding me in that direction. But I definitely had a lot of resistance to it. And I didn't, my egoic mind didn't see myself doing that. I was like, no, I want to do something. I want to do something different. I just couldn't make the connection. You know, part of that was having been in the music business for so long that I was kind of burned out of all music things, because that's a very kind of a very, even when you're successful, it's a very disheartening business to be in. But, you know, through synchronicities and basically a big swift kick in the butt from the universe, I decided to try it with people and started, you know, I booked a few events where I went out and did what I did at home with people, and they went really, really well. And through those events, I actually was offered a bunch of other events, and this really quickly became what I do for a living. It all just kind of rolled out like it was meant to be. And here I am, you know, several years later, and this is what I'm still doing for a living very happily.
Well, that's amazing. So what exactly is sound healing? So if you're brand new to this, you've seen classes on schedules, your friend tells you to go, you've never done it, you've had hesitancy towards it. What exactly is sound healing and how does it work?
You know, there's a lot of different modalities and different ways of doing it. But at the basic essence, sound healing is using sound, the sound waves that you hear, as ways to kind of calm your brain and get your brain into different brain states, but also the physical vibrations of actually moving stuff in the body. And it's allowing yourself to be in the space to allow that to happen, basically. Mm-hmm. And sound is something that people have been using for millennia as a way to release things and to achieve altered states of consciousness. So, you know, we're kind of having a reemergence of that in the culture that we live in today, which is amazing and awesome. But it's been around for quite a long time. And, you know, it's just basically utilizing sound as a way to achieve states of mind where we can heal ourselves and we can allow things to release, you know, traumas, emotional patterns that might not serve us and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it seems to be quite effective. You know, I find in groups, I do a lot of group work. I do a lot more group work than individual work just because that's what I'm called to do. But yeah, it's really an activity of opening. It allows people to open up and get back to the deeper parts of themselves where they can start to realign and start to flourish in this world, because we're at a place right now where things are a little bumpy. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, but sometimes you really just need that reset, that place to step back and take a breath and do it on a deeper level than just sitting down and taking a breath. Sometimes we actually need the outside intervention of something like sound, and it can be really potent.
Right.
I've seen some wonderful things.
Well, yeah. And I think for people that are skeptical, it's like they forget sound is just vibration. So if they come across thinking, okay, it's going to be some kind of music or bowl or rattle or something that's going to do something, it's really the vibration of it. You know, I came from a path of being a yogi. And so my first introduction really to any kind of sound healing was just mantra repetition, lots of Sanskrit mantras over and over and over. And I've had experiences, especially in groups, actually, of just bawling, like crying, so much healing just from chanting loud sound, because I do believe it just moves things in the body, not only energetically, but also it can physically. And I mean, like you were saying, it's ancient, like different cultures all kind of use the same technology in different ways, like shamans, yogis, Egyptians, it's everywhere. So can you talk a little bit about the science behind how that works, maybe with the brain, but also energetically with the body?
Sure. From my understanding of it and my experience with it, a lot of the work I do is kind of intuitive, but I've certainly, you know, read a lot about sound healing. And my understanding of one of the effective things about sound work is its ability to get the brain into to different states, and specifically the theta state. And from that state of consciousness, you know, when we're kind of, the body's pretty much in a sleep state, but the mind's still active and aware, and we kind of shut off a lot of the connections to some of those things that might be causing our anxiety and stuff like that. And from that space, from that theta state, you know, we're able to heal parts of ourselves. And on an energetic level, I feel like it helps us to open up and to flow again. You know, as we're able to get to these different states, we're able to release the anxiety. There's so much anxiety in the world. And I feel like when we get to the state where we're able to release some of that through sound or whatever it is, we're able to get into a flow state again. And I don't know how scientific that is, but I think that's part of what is really so helpful and beneficial about using sound in this specific way.
Definitely.
But sound, you know, even like rock music, like blasting Led Zeppelin on your car stereo can be just as cathartic in its own way. Sometimes that's what you need.
Oh my gosh, yes. I had like a huge Led Zeppelin phase in college, and Mothership was like my Bible. So I totally know what you're talking about. And yeah, that's an amazing thing also too. Not only can music uplift you, it also can really just change your energetic state. That's why people, when they're feeling sad, will probably listen to more sad music to really help get it out. And it's really amazing. Music is an amazing gift. It's reminding me right now of, have you seen Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
Yeah, where they kind of are like, wow, this Earth music, all these aliens, they love it. And a lot of different, I'm very into stuff like that and starseeds and whatever. And they don't really have a lot of the same kind of art and culture that we have here on Earth in different star systems. And it's fascinating to them. So I'm a little in awe of just the value of our art and our culture and our music galactically.
Yeah. Me too. Absolutely. It's such an awesome thing, you know, music and art and all that. There's such a diversity of people on the planet. And I think that's a big part of it, because not only are we diverse, but we're also kind of influencing each other. And that helps to grow the art in completely different ways.
Right. So in your sound healing, you use your voice, you use the crystal bowls, like you were saying, and also some different instruments. So let's talk about the different qualities of each of those things and how they affect the energy field.
Yeah, well, the singing bowls I use most of the time. What I'm doing is creating a drone with the bowls, creating a nice drawn out sound. And drones are really potent. Drones are really helpful to, like we were talking about, to getting the brain to kind of reach that theta state. And, you know, that's what I use the bowls for a lot. And then with the voice, what it feels like I do with my voice, what it does is kind of starts to push the energy. And working with groups, I feel like when we come together, I always like to hold an intention for us to all work on together. I feel like when we do that, we amplify that. And then with the voice, the energy just gets kind of pushed around and things get rearranged. And and it's kind of like it actually reminds me a lot of Reiki. I studied Reiki and did a lot of Reiki for several years before I got into what I'm doing now. But it seems similar, working with sound and working with energy on that level through sound.
That's so funny you say that, because me and my sister actually we were just saying the same thing, how sound works in a similar way to Reiki, how it flows where it's supposed to flow. It it heals what it's supposed to heal. It kind of knows what to do on its own.
Yeah, it kind of finds its way into the gaps.
Yeah.
Like flowing water, it just kind of rolls to the right spots.
Yeah, it's so interesting. That's funny that you say that. So with the crystal singing bowls, because I've always been interested in this, I once did a training. You're going to know the instrument's name. It's kind of like a harmonium, but it's meant to be played as a drone. It's an Indian. They have like a wind up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I just can't think of the name either.
Yeah, I don't know the name. But so the teacher was playing that, and we were all in a restorative class. And so we're all in a pose for about probably 10 minutes. And we came out of it, and then she asked the class, how many of you enjoyed that drone kind of sound of that particular instrument? And about half enjoyed it. And then she said, how many of you did not? And about half didn't. And I found that just so interesting. Some people are like, I want to buy one. It was so soothing. I finally relaxed. And then other people were like, that was like nails on a chalkboard. And so I know that different instruments, different sound waves, different frequencies can influence people differently. So even if it's like a bowl that is a C note and it's technically supposed to correlate to the root chakra or whatever, 30 different people in the room will probably be having 30 different personal experiences and reactions to that same one sound. So can you talk a little bit as to why that is, why that happens, even though, let's say, like the sound or the instrument is kind of a universal tone or sound?
I believe that the reason why people are affected differently is because people are in different spaces in different states with different things going on in their bodies. And sometimes when it's uncomfortable, that's because that's what's needed. Because I've had the experience on both sides where, you know, you get to a place where a specific tone is just really uncomfortable. But if you allow yourself to kind of relax and get down into it, things start to break up and some good releasing can occur from that. Mm. So I feel like the reason why people have different experiences is because this, you know, we're all carrying different things in our bodies and in our energy fields. And this, like we were talking about, the sound has its way to kind of find that, kind of work its way in and start to do what it does. And sometimes we can be resistant to that, not even necessarily on a conscious level, but just like on the holding on subconscious level as well. And, you yes. know, that can be really uncomfortable. And if you're, first of all, not even comfortable with the fact that you're doing sound healing, that's instantaneously going to put you in a bad space and you're going to struggle against it even more. You know, some people go to sound healing events, they're like, I don't know what this is, but I'm here just to check it out. And I feel like if they start having a weird reaction, they could struggle against it. But that, you know, it all depends on the person.
Right. And just to take into depth what you just said, which I think is very wise, it's like sometimes it's on a subconscious level, the resistance. We don't even realize it. We just have a resistance to something and we're like, nah, just not for me. But then you actually go and all this emotion flows out and you're like, oh, that's what I was avoiding.
Yeah. Those things that we're holding on to, those little right. spots where we have things bunched up and hidden away that need to come to the surface, sound is one of the things. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things that has a magical way of kind of gently bringing it to the surface.
Yes, yes. So can you talk a little bit about the reactions that you've seen in groups? Just so if someone for the first time goes to a sound healing class and they have a certain type of reaction, they don't judge it because they understand that everything and anything can come up.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all different kinds of reactions. Luckily, only a few adverse reactions, mostly really positive reactions of people talking about how relaxed they were and seeing colors and feeling like they're free of their body a bit, you know, like they're kind of floating. Those are things I hear about a lot. And I've heard lots of wonderful journey stories where people go to all different places, you know, all different places.
What does that mean? Can you go there?
Yeah, I've had people share experiences of visitations from loved ones or visitations from energetic beings or traveling out of body to different places. Sometimes it's familiar places. Sometimes it's up into space. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's one of the things sound was used for a lot in history is journeying on the sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's many, many different stories. But also I've had people that, you know, have had a lot of pain in their body. I remember one person in particular, because it was really potent. It was a woman who had chronic pain for decades, and it was just always there. And after the sound journey, she just said she was pain free. And I was like, you know, I didn't know the backstory. And I was like, that's really nice. But, you know, afterwards her family was crying and all this stuff. And it was really potent because literally that was the first time she had been without pain in decades. Wow. And sound can be that powerful. And you get into the thing with sound healing was, you know, what causes that? I'm of the mind that, you know, the sound is only the catalyst. The change really happens within the person. It's finding that space within yourself to allow that to release.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a really, really wide variety of reactions. But, you know, I've had some adverse reactions too. Nothing ever horrible, but I've had some people, like I was talking about, having that bit of being uncomfortable in certain spots or maybe dealing with a little bit of physical pain. And most of the time people talk about how that kind of breaks up after a while, which is, you know, which is what we're shooting for. And a couple times I've had people that just, like you were talking about with the instrument that wasn't a harmonium, how it just kind of grates on their nerves. It's just not the right frequencies that are working with them, at least in that moment.
Right. And yeah, and my reaction was always, I felt it was like breaking down that little heart wall that I had. Well, big heart wall. So there'd just be lots of tears flowing constantly when it was a really powerful either chant or whatever it was at home. So This is a question I've always had, because a lot of times when you're looking at crystal bowls, they're marketed as, this is for this chakra, this sounds for this chakra, this is for this frequency. And, you know, for even some of the bowls that are mixed with different crystal elements, a lot of times they say that one bowl does a specific thing. So what's your opinion on that? Do you find that, yes, like certain notes always work with certain chakras, or do you feel like it's all different?
Both.
Okay.
I actually utilize chakra bowls, and I use them to move through the chakras, uh-huh. but not all the time. Sometimes the way that the frequencies work is not specifically chakra related as well, but it's nice to kind of have that guidepost of the tones of the chakras in the singing bowls, because kind of work through the bodily systems. But other times it's good to just kind of let go of the thoughts about that and just kind of go with whatever comes up. And I don't think it's necessarily specifically tied to that as law, but I think it can be beneficial to work with those tones. Just, you know, they're the frequencies that are related to that specific chakra. But sometimes I believe that, you know, those frequencies that might be in teaching geared towards like the root chakra can really help with the heart, because sometimes you might need grounding in the heart chakra.
Totally. And on Instagram, which I found really interesting when I read this, because I was like, oh, this makes perfect sense. But you were saying that in some of your newer songs and in a lot of your newer work, that you feel like you're actually channeling a Pleiadian vibration. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've always had a lot of guidance. And, you know, that's a whole nother topic that we could talk about for hours. I'm sure both ways. But back before I was doing with those people, what I was doing was basically just letting go and allowing the sound to come through, and, you know, opening up the space to allow positive energy to come through, or whatever needed to come through. And I found myself working with specific things would come in and kind of like repeat. And then when I shifted to working with people, it just intensified even more, because you're working with group energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certain things tend to come in and repeat.
What do you mean by certain things?
Just certain resonances, the way things feel and how it's tied to a specific melody. And sometimes I hear a specific melody and I know it's working on a specific blockage. Maybe it's a blockage from being able to connect to higher self, mm-hmm. for a specific person in the group. It seems like focused on them. I've had that experience many times. Even though we're all in it together, it's kind of coming into its focal point. And that specific melody line, the way it's working with the drone, is kind of gently pulling on that to open it up. And it's, you know, a lot of that is guided. I've had, you know, a lot of experiences with other entities visiting during sound journeys and, you know, kind of definitely channeling guidance on like what I was talking about with that specific melody that time. I could feel that melody working on that one person. It wasn't something that was even conscious in my mind when I'm doing the sound. Mm-hmm. I'm basically just paying attention enough so that I don't drop the singing bowl striker.
Yeah, you are the instrument. You are the
and
channel.
It's a really, really vulnerable place, which is why I never intended to do it with anybody. It was a very personal experience, mm-hmm. very, very much, you know, getting into that space of being able to open yourself up like that is something that it takes a little bit of working up to take and do with other people.
You know, you're reminding me a little bit right now of Louise Hay. Her book is You Can Heal Your Life, one of her more famous books. And after seeing thousands and thousands of clients, she prescriptively wrote this chart for psychosomatic illnesses that come from imprints or affirmations or energy patterns that we're holding that would, she says, creates the condition that you have physically. And that doing the work to use the opposite mantra, whatever it may be, can literally help. When you change the belief, it can change the energy in your body and then help work on the symptom that's surfacing in the body. And it sounds almost similar to how you are working with the melodies. Like, you found that certain melodies work with certain people and certain blockages. And I feel like I'm excited if you're going to put out a book on that.
No plans to yet. And it's kind of, you know, it's not like that specific melody is always going to work on that. Or maybe it is, you know, I'm just
Right.
I'm kind of discovering it as I'm working through it as well. But it's potent and it seems to be quite effective.
Right. Yes. 100%. So if somebody is new to sound healing, they've got this far, they've listened, they're interested, but they're still skeptical, what would you say to them?
Just check it out, because at the most basic aspect of it, the most basic aspect of sound healing, it's basically just meditating with sound. And if you're open to just going and checking it out, then you could have a really wonderful experience. And if it's really uncomfortable, then maybe that's what you need. Or if it's really uncomfortable, you know, you can always get up and leave.
And if somebody really loves sound healing and they just love listening to it, going to classes, and they'd like to start their own journey at home, what would your advice be to them?
I get asked that question a lot. And really my advice is to just, you know, what is it that's calling you to do? Because a lot of times it's not just I'm feeling called to do sound healing. It's I'm feeling called to buy a singing bowl or something like that. Usually we already kind of know what it is that we want to start working with. We're just kind of looking for that external permission.
Mm.
My advice is to just don't overthink it, to just grab something. I mean, I started working with, before I had singing bowls, I had tuning forks, if you're looking for a cheaper option. And I worked with those every morning, you know, ringing them and kind of playing around with them. And it was actually really potent. So the best advice I can give is don't overthink it. Just kind of let your intuition guide you to trying things out.
Right. And I mean, and the cheapest instruments are on voice.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I heard this really beautiful thing. It was a passage in the book Talos, which is all about Lumeria. And they were saying how in a fifth dimensional frequency, when everybody was ascended back in the golden era, that we actually didn't need to use our voices. We communicated telepathically. So the only time that we really ever would use voice and the sound of our voice was for healing others, healing spaces, because we didn't need to. We were always communicating telepathically. And when I heard that, I was like, that is so beautiful. Because if you really think of the power of your words and just the power of your voice and the energy that comes through behind that, regardless if you are a singer or not, like how healing and potent that could be if the intention behind it is that. It kind of changed everything for me. And then I just started toning and singing in the shower every day, not like songs, but like whatever came through. And I just saw this metamorphosis happen so quickly.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know, you're not a singer is 100% false for everyone. Everyone is a singer. Everyone uses their voice. And I've actually had dreams of lifetimes where that was the case, of learning of using voice. And it was really weird. And I feel like we all still have that connection, the telepathic connection, and it still pops up. We just have this veil that's kind of over that right now. We're a little bit disconnected, but because we chose to be so, I think that right now we're getting to a point where that's all starting to bubble up and come to the surface.
Yes, and the veil is thinning on a global level because of people doing the work. And I think that's why this podcast came about. That's probably why you got guided onto your journey, sound healing. And so thank you so much for coming on. And like you were saying, there's just different modalities for healing, whether it's through sound, through yoga, through meditation, through acupuncture. Like there's a million different ways, but this route has really worked for you and you've seen the profound effects on others. And so thank you for really doing your work and spreading that.
Yeah, I'm definitely really grateful that in the way it kind of manifested in my life and the way I was guided to do it, because it's definitely the most fulfilling thing I've ever done.
It's amazing. So luckily for the listeners, we will debut a new single called Remembering Many Lifetimes from your new album, Becoming Light. We'll chat with you a bit after. So for the listeners, just sit back, find a comfortable place, and feel free to immerse yourself in the music. So thank you so much for sharing that. It's really beautiful and it moves me really every time. So can you talk a little bit about that piece?
That's one of those melodies that kept coming up in for most of this album. The album is full of these melodies that keep coming up in the sound healing journey work events that I do. This one specifically is one of those ones that keeps recurring, and it seems to be tied to the second chakra. And it actually is a based off of a D note. The lowest drone is a D, but it also seems to be tied in some way to kind of reconnecting, growing those ethereal threads back to start to connect to our past lives on a little bit more of a conscious level. And whether or not, you know, and that doesn't even necessarily mean conscious level, that could mean just starting to regrow those pathways to get the emotional flow between that, and just starting to, because like you were saying, the veil is coming down and things are starting to shift and move. And, you know, that's just intuitively the information that kind of came with that melody. It doesn't mean you have to believe it to enjoy the music, and it could actually, you know, that's I don't like to tell people that this is the way it is, because I feel like we all have our own specific things going on, and sometimes things affect people different ways. But my experience with that melody is it's kind of tied to reconnecting to those different experiences and maybe past traumas, and just allowing things to just move and flow again on bringing it into a more connected level.
Makes so much sense. When you said second chakra, I was like, oh, womb healing. It's all about the womb healing lately for all the ladies out there. Mm. I was like, okay, this is why. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And how can people find you and your new album and your amazing music?
The easiest way is my website is called innerselfsustained.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me there. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and all that stuff. But there's links to all that right on my website too.
Yeah, I love your Instagram page. My friend Amy actually sent me, that's how I found out about you. She sent me one of your clips, and I remember being like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And then I just loved the little clips that you would post, even if they were just like through my phone for a minute. And then, so I love everything and all the content that you put out. It's really amazing.
Thank you. I'm really, really grateful to be here. I feel like it's an exciting time because there's so many people that are kind of waking up to their own gifts and sharing stuff in different ways. And like I was saying in the beginning, there's a lot of things going on in the world. There's a lot of bumpiness, a lot of turbulence, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think things are starting to move and shift. And I think ultimately we're in for some really wonderful things. And I always use the analogy of somatics as a good way to describe that. And if you're familiar with somatics, the one you've probably seen, even if you didn't know it was called somatics, when they take a speaker and attach it to a sheet of metal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cymatics play, with the sound, with the sand on the plate. And
yeah, exactly.
Sacred and geometry
play
that comes up.
Frequencies, and then a pattern forms, and all the particles, all the sand is moving and flowing, but it's all holding this pattern until you start to raise that vibration up, then the pattern starts to dissolve into chaos, at least from our perspective, until you get to the point where you hit that next resonant frequency, and then instantaneously just snaps into a new, even more complicated, even more beautiful pattern. And I think that's kind of exactly what's going on in the world today. You know, we're at a point where things are moving and shifting, and the more of us that are stepping into our own paths like this, the more helpful and smoother the transition can be.
Yes.
So thank you as well for listening.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That was such a good example. It was like the 25,000 year cycles that we go through, or the yugas and yoga, you know, the different eras, but it was all just done in a matter of a second or two in cymatics. I love that comparison. That was such a good analogy. So thank you. It was wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoyed this episode and the last few, make sure to subscribe to the Soul Awakening podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of our new interviews and episodes that release weekly. You can find all the episodes online on soulawakeningpodcast.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and pretty much all places where podcasts are found. And please don't forget to leave a review while you're there. If you love the information that you heard today and it sparks something in you, feel free to share it with your friends and family as well. I'm your host, Kat Fowler, and thanks again for listening. Wishing you peace, love, light, and joy for the rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.